In the sugyas that we're learning about Bittul Barayv, there are two distinct concepts that are discussed in our Gemara. One is the concept of Bittul Barayv, that if something gets mixed into something else, obviously at different shiurim, Midaraisa the shir is always roiv, as the pasuk says, Acher rabim lahatois. We know sometimes the shir is shishim, 60 times. As in Agama, we learned that by truma the shir is 100-to-1 ratio. We learned that by arlo the ratio is 200-to-1. But that's the concept of bittul barayv. But in halacha, there are two very distinct concepts. One is, as I just said, the concept of bittul barayv. And the other is the concept of hoylech acher roiv, or as our Gemara describes it, called the parish, merubah parish. The din of bittul barayv tells us, as we just said, that if one object falls into another object, given the proper shiurim, it becomes bittul barayv. It is important to point out that what does bittul barayv accomplish and what does bittul barayv not accomplish? There's a very famous tshuva, Tshuvas Oyrenig Yontif, Oyrechaim Simen Dalet, that says we know that the halach is that tzitzis must be made lishma. So let's say you'll have threads of tzitzis that were not made lishma, and you have one thread like that that got mixed into many threads that were made lishma. Will bittul barayv work? So he says that bittul barayv won't work. A similar example he explains is that if you'll have matzah that was made shloi lishma, such a matzah should not be used to be mekayim mitzvah matzah by the Seder, that got mixed in between matzahs that were baked lishma. Again, even though it's bittul, all bittul can accomplish is that it takes off the isser. But bittul cannot create something. It can remove the isser, but it cannot create a new situation. And therefore, bittul cannot make tzitzis that were made shaloi lishma into lishma. Bittul cannot make matzah that was baked shaloi lishma into lishma. And therefore, that's not what bittul could accomplish. And that's the same reason that we know when we speak about esrogim. So one of the things that we always pay attention by esrogim is that it should be not merkav. It shouldn't be made out of a different, shouldn't have any mixture in it. And again, the same concept can be discussed. Even if there's a little of a different type of a fruit in this esrog, so why isn't it bittul barayv? The answer is, it is bittul barayv. But even bittul barayv can make something which is not an esrog into an esrog. So that's the concept of bittul barayv. But here in our Gemara, on Daf Ayin Gimel, the Gemara introduces a new concept. Here the Gemara speaks about Hoylech Acher HaRoiv. If, and where is it most noticeable? Where it's most noticeable is in the questions that are posed in our very Gemara. Because our Gemara, the first question that was posed on Daf Ayin Beis, was the question of Litvitlin HaBarayv, the one non-kosher animal that can't be used for a carbon got mixed up into all the other carbonas. So the Gemara asked, and the Gemara answered, it's a davar shebeminyan. It's a davar chashiv. A davar shebeminyan. A davar chashiv, the Gemara says, that doesn't get bottle. Ha'ilachach ha'roiv doesn't have, why? Because of the chashivis, it prevents bittle to take place. Ha'ilachach ha'roiv doesn't take all of these factors into consideration. And by halacha charoiv, the halacha is always that if the roiv of the question, the famous case that we're going to be discussing, where you have 10 butcher shops and 9 butcher shops are kosher in a city, and 9 are kosher, one isn't, and you find a piece of meat on the floor, halacha charoiv tells us that that piece of meat should be considered kosher, that, and we don't have to be concerned whether it's a davar chashiv or it's a davar shebeminyan, it's a chaticha ruilas kabed berry, all of these considerations are removed. So our Gemara introduces the concept of kol kavua kamechza mechza dami. What's called kavu kamechza mechza dami? That when something is in its place, when something is in its place, then the halacha is that we don't consider, we don't go basa roif. So to explain this question, if you have this concept, the example that we just gave, you have 10 butcher shops in a town. 9 are kosher, 1 is non-kosher. And you went to a store and you bought meat. And you don't remember from which store did you buy. From the kosher store, from the non-kosher store. So the halacha is, even though, as I just said, most of the butcher shops are kosher, kol kavua kamechza mechza dami teaches us that it's a 50-50 suffix and we have to be machma. Or, on the other hand, the teacher's a kula. You have 9 Jews and 1 Nachri, and you threw a stone onto that group, and somebody died. You did it deliberately. And we don't know if you meant to kill the Yisrael, even though statistically that's probably what the case was, or the Akum. Kol kavua kamechza mechza dami, the halacha is that it's a 50-50 Suffolk nefashos lahakol, and the person not considered a tzeach. Another example is Al Gemara, where the Shar HaNisko got mixed in 10,000 that has to be killed. The Chatas HaMesa that has to be killed got mixed up into all these other animals, and you don't know now amongst this entire herd which is the not kosher animal. Kol kavua kamechza mechza dami says that we have to be machmir. On the other hand, there's a concept of kol d'parash merubah parash. A kol d'parash merubah parash teaches us that if you found a piece of meat on the floor in the town, whereas we said previously, 9 of the butcher shops are kosher, 1 is not, kol d'parash merubah parash tells us we could be makel and assume that it's kosher. And the same in Al Gemara. If you have this herd of animals where this non-kosher animal got mixed in there, call the parash merubah parash says, since there's a ratio of 10,000 to 1, it doesn't have to be, as Al Gemara tells us, such a significant ratio, call the parash merubah parash says, we could be makel. So we've established in this shir, in this introduction, the concept of bittul beroiv, the concept of kol kavua kamechza mechza dami, and the concept of kol d'parash merubah parash. Tosfos in Masechta Chulin, daf tzadik hei amud aleph, divrei ha'maskil pasku, asks, how can the concept of bittul beroiv
fit in with the concept of kol kavur kemetz and metz adam. Aren't these two concepts contradictory? If we say that whenever there's a mixture, we say kol kavur kemetz and metz adam, how can we at the same time say bittel b'roif? So Tosfos answers that the only time we say kol kavur kemetz and metz adam is when the iser is noticeable. But going back to the classic example of kol kavur kemetz and metz adam, is we have 9 identifiable kosher butcher shops and 1 identifiable non-identifiable non-kosher butcher shop. So there we say kol kavur kemetz and metz adam. But if we have a situation where the iser was never identifiable, which is the case of every taruvus, something non-kosher, a non-kosher piece of meat fell into a pack with kosher meat, there we don't say kol kavur kemetza ametza dami. The Prima Gadim, in discussing these halachas, discusses the following question. How do we understand the concept of kol kavur kemetza ametza dami? Is it to be understood that when we have a situation of kol kavur kemetza ametza dami, then there is no din of roif, because the fact that it's kavur says I don't have a roif here? Or is it a way to understand? So of course, you can't change the reality that you have a roif. Just the Torah tells you that under such circumstances, we don't follow the roif. The Prima Gadim takes the second approach. He says that of course we can't change the reality that, our example, 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher, that this is a situation of roif. Just he says the way to understand kol kavur is to understand that in such circumstances, there is no halacha of roif. And based on this, he has a number of questions. What would be the halacha if svek seiko? We know that halacha is always very lenient. In our Gemara, we have the concept in a situation of a svek sveka. What would be the halacha in a case of a svek sveka by kavur? The Rashba says that the reason we could be particularly lenient by svek sveka, because every svek sveka is considered a roif. So if that's the case, if we're saying by kavur, we don't say roif, that we won't say svek sveka. Another question. We have a halacha throughout Shas, Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, Gemara Masechta Kedusha discusses it, that whenever you have 2 conflicting halachic concepts, the concept of roiv and the concept of chazaka, conflicting, roiv takes you in one direction, chazaka takes you into a different direction. The halacha is Rubav Chazaka, Rubav Adav. What's going to be the halacha if you have a Chazaka in a case of a Kavur? Do we say if Roiv doesn't work, Chazaka certainly won't work? Or another similar question. Throughout halacha, there's a concept that when you have Roiv the Karev, we go bust the Roiv. What's going to be the halacha when you have karev in a situation of kavur? Very likely question. The question that we discussed. You found a piece of meat. You don't know where it came from. Or you went to a butcher shop, better said. You don't know which one you went to, but the closest one is the kosher one. Will that make a difference? If, says the Prima Gadim, roiv doesn't work, then certainly karev doesn't work. And so too is the opinion of the Plaisi. Rav Shimon Shkop, however, says to understand the concept of kavua differently. He says that what kavua accomplishes is that the miut is as significant as the roif. And since the miut is as significant as the roif, so now we don't have roif. But that doesn't mean that the other types of halachas that will happen, that will help us in that, the other types of birurim that will help us whenever we have a shayla, chazaka or karev, should not be helpful. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes. What is the reasoning for kol kavur kemetza matzadami? And the repercussion of that shayla, is what will be the halacha, as the Prima Gadim and Rav Shimon Shkop discuss, regarding other birurim and a situation of kavur. Will they be at least helpful? The opinion of Shimon Shkop. Or will they also not be helpful? The opinion of Prima Gadim and the opinion of the place. The Gemara here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis says that in our Gemara, what, where one problematic animal fell in between all the other animals, why don't we say called the Parish Meruba Parish? So the Gemara says, Amai Hu Mirabonim. If we're going to say that, Amat Megisa Sara. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that if everybody, every kohen took a separate animal, because on every animal we could say, called the parish, meruba parish, even if after the blood of 10 animals, let's say, as we explained this Gemara, 10 animals represent the roiv, are again remixed together, the halacha is that even though the blood of these 10 animals are mixed together in the megisa and the bowl, the halacha is that it will not revert to being usher, even though it represents the roiv and probably the non-kosher animal's blood is there. So this is the basis of a famous opinion of the Rosh that says that once roiv paskins a shayla, whether it's because bittel b'roiv, whether it's because of called the parish meruba parish, even if the circumstances change, the halacha is doesn't change the reality. And it becomes completely mutter. And therefore, according to the Rosh, you're going to be able to eat all the animals. If each animal was parish separately, the halacha is that, and on every individual animal will say, called the parish, meruba parish, you will be able to eat all 10 animals. The Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says that you shouldn't be able to eat all of them. Because when you're eating all of them, certainly you're eating a non-kosher animal in that mixture. Rav Chaim Brisker wants to distinguish between if you're relying on kol the parish, meruba parish, or you're relying on bittel b'roif. When you rely on called the parish meruba parish, he agrees with the Rosh. And when you're relying on bittel b'roiv, he agrees with the Rashba.